Welcome to day 226 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries in Tustin, California. Today we will be reading from the book of Jeremiah, and we will cover Jeremiah chapters 26, 27, 28, and 29. We are reading this week from the New American Standard Bible. So beginning at Jeremiah chapter 26, starting at verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord, saying, Thus says the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak to all the cities of Judah who have come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I have commanded you to speak to them. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen, and everyone will turn from his evil way, that I may repent of the calamity which I am planning to do to them because of the evil of their deeds. And you will say to them, Thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I have been sending to you again and again, but you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city I will make a curse to all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. When Jeremiah finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, You must die! Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people gathered about Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat in the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets spoke to the officials and to all the people, saying, A death sentence for this man, for he has prophesied against this city as you have heard in your hearing. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city, all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as is good and right in your sight. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and to the prophets, No death sentence for this man, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then some of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah king of Judah, and he spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus the Lord of hosts has said, Zion will be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem will become ruins, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah king of Judah and all Judah put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and entreat the favor of the Lord, and the Lord changed his mind about the misfortune which he had pronounced against them? But we are committing a great evil against ourselves. Indeed, there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah from Kiriath-Jearim, and he prophesied against this city and against this land, words similar to all those of Jeremiah. When King Jehoiakim and all his mighty men and all the officials heard his words, then the king sought to put him to death. But Uriah heard it, and he was afraid, and he fled and went to Egypt. Then King Jehoiakim sent men to Egypt. Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him went into Egypt. And they brought Uriah from Egypt and led him to King Jehoiakim, who slew him with a sword and cast his dead body into the burial place of the common people. But the hand of Jehoiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, so that he was not given into the hands of the people to put him to death. Chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck, and send word to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Sidon, by the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah king of Judah. Command them to go to their master, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the men and the beasts which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. Now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him also the wild animals of the field to serve him. All the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then many nations and great kings will make him their servant. It will be that the nation or the kingdom which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have destroyed it by his hand. But as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers, who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you in order to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nation which will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let remain on its land, declares the Lord, and they will till it and dwell in it. I spoke words like all these to Zedekiah king of Judah, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, famine, and pestilence, as the Lord has spoken to that nation which will not serve the king of Babylon? So do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you will not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. For I have not sent them, declares the Lord, but they prophesy falsely in my name, in order that I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. Then I spoke to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets, who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought again from Babylon. For they are prophesying a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become a ruin? But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now entreat the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem, may not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the stands, and concerning the rest of the vessels that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he carried into exile Jeconiah, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem, they will be carried to Babylon, and they will be there until the day I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. Chapter 28. Now in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I am going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I am also going to bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Yet hear now this word which I am about to speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who were before me and before you from ancient times prophesied against many lands and against great kingdoms, of war and of calamity and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke it. Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so will I break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went his way. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and speak to Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, You have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. And I have also given him the beasts of the field. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, Listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you are going to die because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the seventh month. Chapter 29. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name, and I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, for thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, and concerning all the people who dwell in this city, your brothers who did not go with you into exile, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am sending upon them the sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them like split open figs that cannot be eaten due to rottenness. I will pursue them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, and I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and a horror and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. Because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent to them again and again by my servants the prophets, but you did not listen, declares the Lord. You therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Kolaiah, and concerning Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, who are prophesying to you falsely in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will slay them before your eyes. Because of them, a curse will be used by all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon, saying, may the Lord make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have acted foolishly in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken words in my name falsely, which I did not command them, and I am he who knows and am a witness, declares the Lord. To Shemaiah the Nehelamite you shall speak, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have sent letters in your own name to all the people who are in Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord has made you priest instead of Jehoiada the priest, to be overseer in the house of the Lord over every madman who prophesies, to put him in the stocks and in the iron collar. Now then, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth who prophesies to you? For he has sent to us in Babylon, saying, the exile will be long, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Zephaniah the priest read this letter to Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, send to all the exiles, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, although I did not send him, and he has made you trust in a lie, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his descendants. He will not have anyone living among this people, and he will not see the good that I'm about to do to my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against the Lord. This is the end of today's scripture reading. And today's devotional, I want to take a look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11, one of the most quoted Bible verses among Christians, and often perhaps one of the most misunderstood or misrepresented, perhaps, scripture verses. And it's the quite famous verse that says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." I want to take a look at that because it is such a rich verse, but we always need to take every verse that we look at within the context from which it arises and not just separate it from the text and use it for our own purposes. So we have to remember when we quote that verse, what was happening at the time that that word was given. And this was a word from the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah spoke it, saying, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord." So he's saying what God said. And so these are good and encouraging and precious words, and we've often used them for all sorts of situations in life that maybe we have faced, and it is a promise that we can take for our own lives. But we have to start out with the fact that it was given as a promise to the people of Israel in the time of Jeremiah. So let's look at the context, and then let's talk about how it applies or can be applied to our lives as well. Remember the setting. We have the people of Judah, which is the Israelites, but the southern kingdom of Judah, who have now been taken into captivity, a big portion, tens of thousands of them from Jerusalem and from outlying areas, were taken, marched 800 miles on a forced march into the foreign nation of Babylon, marched through the capital city, made a show of them as if the Babylonians and their gods were the winners of this battle. And so in humiliation, quite literally, the people of Judah were brought into captivity to the Babylonians. And so the setting was sad because it was a very calamitous time. It was a crisis. It was a time of great sorrow for the people. It was indeed not a happy occasion. And so the remnant of people that were left in Jerusalem, including Jeremiah the prophet, who was still living there at that time, were really in a state of sorrow. And the city had been looted. The temple had been looted. So many of the vessels that were used in the temple worship had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and taken over to his palace in Babylon. Though there were still some vessels left, but the majority of the golden vessels and all the things used, the plates and the cups and the bowls and all the things that were used in the temple worship were taken to Babylon and kept in the palace of the king of Babylon. So it was a really sorrow-filled time, as we know. And in the 28th chapter, the chapter before, we find this beautiful verse, 29:11, saying, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." The prior chapter, you will recall that there was a big encounter between the prophet Jeremiah and the false prophet whose name was Hananiah. And he's the one that was going through Jerusalem, making this big proclamation saying that in 2 years, all the exiles that were in captivity in Babylon were going to come back to Jerusalem, and that the vessels that were taken from the temple were going to be returned from Babylon and put back in the temple in Jerusalem. So he's making a really big statement prophesying that this was going to come to pass. And Jeremiah the prophet confronts him and tells him what God told him. God said, "Go and speak to Hananiah, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, you've broken the yokes of wood, but you've made instead of them yokes of iron.'" Because he had taken the yoke that Jeremiah had put on his neck, which was made out of wood, which was an object lesson of the telling the people they should submit under the yoke of Babylon because God was in that whole thing and wanted them for a season to be in Babylon. Instead, Hananiah went and broke the yoke and said that God has taken off the yoke and he's going to return everybody back to Jerusalem within 2 years. But Jeremiah told him, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. And I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth, and this year you're going to die." So, big confrontation between these two prophets, one who was a false prophet, Hananiah, and the true prophet of the Lord, which was Jeremiah. So the setting is that the people had started to hope in what was essentially a lie that was being told by Hananiah the prophet. They were putting all their trust in this false word that this false prophet was giving them, and hoping for basically a quick solution to a really difficult problem. Now think about this for a moment. God allowed the people of Judah and Jerusalem to be taken into captivity to Babylon for a reason. First of all, primarily, it was a judgment because of the wickedness of Manasseh, who had been king of Judah, and how he had led all the people of Judah into bondage, worshiping false gods and bringing in idol worship into the temple and all those things. He was a great proponent of wickedness, and God had declared he's going to punish him and he was going to cause the nation to go into captivity as a direct result of that sin. So we know that the number one reason that they went into captivity in Babylon was because it was judgment for what they had done, which was fall away, turn their backs on God, and go into this idol worship. So he let them be taken into captivity into an idol worshiping land. And that was really their consequence or judgment for their sinful activity. But secondarily, the Lord was trying to get their attention. And it was to get their attention to turn their hearts back to the Lord. God's purpose in everything that God does is to try to get a person's heart to turn back to him. That's his desire, to be in relationship with people, in a love relationship with them. God doesn't even like to see the wicked die, the scripture tells us, because he would rather that the wicked person turn back to him. He's all about restoring relationship with himself, even with the most hardened sinner. God's willing to receive them back. So everything in God's plan is always geared at turning a person back to the Lord, restoring relationship, and trying to bring them back into a love relationship with himself. And that was the second part of this whole purpose of allowing them to go into captivity into Babylon, let them see what it's like to come under bondage to false gods. It was horrible. It was a horrible time for the people of Israel to be in the Babylonian capital and in the land of Babylon, being surrounded by all this idolatry and seeming so far from God and so far from the place that God had chosen for Israel and for the place where God had chosen to establish his presence in the city of Jerusalem. So his purpose was to bring them back to himself. So God's end purpose is always good. So when we have this Hananiah prophesying 2 years and everybody's coming back home and all the vessels will be restored to the temple and everything's going to be fine, this false hope that he was giving them was like a band-aid on the wound that they had. They were in sorrow over the desolation of Jerusalem, over the fact that the majority of the people had been taken over to Babylon. There was only a few remaining still in the city of Jerusalem, a few of the Israelites. And so this false hope that Hananiah was perpetuating through his false prophecies didn't do anything for them but give them false hope, prophesying a lie, as Jeremiah called it. The Lord has not sent you. You've made this people trust in a lie. And he was trying to put a Band-Aid, so to speak, on a deep wound that needed healing, not a Band-Aid. What needed healing was the very heart of the people of Israel. They needed their hearts healed from the wickedness, the sinfulness, the separation from God, and they needed to be healed and brought back into relationship with the Lord. God wanted that for them, and Him trying to give them false hope did not help the situation at all. And then we move on to chapter 29, and we have Jeremiah telling the people to build houses in Babylon, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives, become fathers, and let their children be married, and multiply there and not decrease, and seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, according to the word of the Lord, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. God wanted those people to put down some roots there for a season, because God intended for them to stay there until the full 70 years of captivity was completed. The Lord intended them to complete that period of time that God had had Jeremiah prophesy about. When 70 years have been completed for Babylon, according to Jeremiah 29:10, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. The very next verse is that famous verse, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, this word came on the heels of, you're going to be in Babylon for 70 years, but I will visit you, and I will fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to Jerusalem. So what I want to bring to your attention is this. A lot of times we take that verse, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope, and think that it's going to be like a quick thing that God's going to do to make everything happy and right again, like Hananiah was prophesying to the people. 2 years, everything will be fine, we'll get all the stuff back, the people back, everything will be just great. But with that word, there's no healing for what was really the underlying problem that had brought them into bondage to begin with. God does intend to bless, bring blessing and peace and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. That's His intent for your life. But I guarantee you, He is more interested in bringing the full healing of whatever it is that needs to be healed in your life, bring it into total completeness, rather than just quickly take away any pain you might be experiencing at the moment. We live in a society that wants instant cures, fast food, instant resolution of problems, remove any discomfort as fast as possible, and never allow us to be in an uncomfortable situation for more than 10 minutes. We live in that sort of a society here in the United States. And yet God is more interested in healing the underlying wound and then bringing you into a place where He can give you the blessing and the peace and the future and the hope. But He's not the God of the Band-Aid, just put it over the deep wound and everything will be fine. He's not the God of Hananiah, 2 years, everything will be great, we'll get all the stuff back, the people back, back to Jerusalem, go on as we always were going forward. Well, what they were doing at that time was being idolatrous in the middle of Jerusalem. God wanted to heal the underlying wound, which was their hearts had gone far from God. And God had not been allowed in their lives to heal the depth of the wound in each of their hearts. God wants to do for you good things. He does. It's a true word. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is God. That is God's heart for you. But don't think it's going to be an instant thing. Let the Lord do in you what it is He wants to do, that He might heal the deep wound that has caused you to be in a difficult place right now. The next verse says, "Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, and I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you." Let me say this to you. God does want to bring you to that place where He can give you that future and that hope, that good and not the evil. But He wants to do a work that is deep, that is complete, that brings wholeness and soundness to your life. In fact, if you really explore the meaning of that verse where it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord," and in the original King James it says, "thoughts of peace and not of evil," or in the NASB, the New American Standard that we read today, says plans for welfare and not for calamity. The word, the original Hebrew word that's translated welfare in the NASB and is translated peace in the King James, it is actually the Hebrew word shalom, which most people know that word as meaning peace, but it's actually quite deeper than that. That word means completeness or soundness. God wants the work that He desires to do in your heart to produce a completeness in your life, a soundness in your life, so that it's not just a superficial thing. Okay, I remove the pain you're having at this moment. No, it's not just a Band-Aid. It's not just a little antiseptic to make it feel better. He wants to do the complete healing of the deep wound. He wants to bring soundness and wholeness to your life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, every area. And that's not done in a moment necessarily. It may take some time. God can do anything in a moment, but oftentimes with matters of the heart, there's a process God works through to bring that completeness to a person's life, that soundness to a person's life, the health and contentment and spiritual and emotional stability that God's trying to bring. And that's what He wants to do in your life. He wants to bring you, wants to give you the very plan that He has for you, plans for peace, soundness, completeness, not for evil, not for what will it bring you pain. In fact, that word that says not for evil, plans for good and not for evil, that word that's translated evil in some of the translations actually means malignant, giving pain, unhappiness, or misery. God is not desiring to see you in pain, unhappy, or miserable, or have some malignant condition in your spirit or in your soul, your emotions. He wants to bring soundness. He wants to bring completion. Let the Lord do the full work He wants to do. Don't beg God for just taking away the momentary pain you're in, whether it's because you're under financial pressure or you're under pressure at your workplace or pressure in your school situation. You're just begging God, "Deliver me, get me out of here." And God wants to do something deeper than just remove the temporal situation that's making you uncomfortable. Let the Lord do what it is He desires to do. He said, "I'll visit you. I'll fulfill my good word to you. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for good, plans to bring soundness and wholeness and completeness in your life, not for evil, not to allow you to continue in pain and have a malignant condition in your spirit that will continue to cause you problems for the rest of your life if I just remove the momentary discomfort you're experiencing. Let the Lord do the deep work. Let Him do the work that brings soundness and completeness. That's what He wants to do. And the way that you'll find that, the way that you'll be able to access that, is in the next two verses. Call upon Him, pray to Him, listen. God will listen to you. Seek Him, and you'll find Him when you search for Him with all your heart. And then the Lord declares, "I will be found by you, and I will restore." God wants to do a great work in your life. He wants to bring forth a plan for good and not for evil, but seek Him. Go after Him. Don't just beg Him to remove the temporary pain you're in. Let Him do the deep work so that you can have a soundness in your life that will reap fruit for a lifetime. God bless you and give you a victorious week.